Hello and welcome back to the Healthy Pregnancy Revolution. I'm Stephanie here today with Jeannie Patel Thompson. She is an internationally recognized expert on natural healing for digestive diseases. She healed herself from widespread Crohn's disease and has remained drug and surgery free for over 20 years. Jeannie has appeared on numerous TV and radio shows throughout the U.S., giving people hope and vision for how they can heal their colitis, Crohn's, diverticulitis, and irritable bowel syndrome using entirely natural methods. Her books on natural healing for digestive diseases have sold worldwide in over 80 countries, and she is the founder of listentoyourgut.com. Hi, Jeannie. Welcome. I'm so, so excited to have this chat with you today.
Thank you, Stephanie. I'm looking forward to this.
Absolutely. So in respect to our gut health and our microbiome, what would you consider is the most important thing a woman can do prior to conception for a healthy pregnancy, a healthy baby, and a healthy postpartum?
Well, the data shows that your baby's microbiome is actually determined not just by you, but by your mother. So it actually goes back at least two, often three generations. So if your mother and your grandmother do not have healthy guts, you really, really super need to get on this piece. And so the most important thing is to make sure that your microbiome is balanced with a majority of healthy bacteria rather than bad bacteria. You want to get rid of the yeast and the candida. And so this is a really easy check, is to just take a look at your tongue. And if your tongue has that white or yellowish coating, you've got extra candida albicans yeast in your system. And you really want to clear that, because when yeast dies, it releases 168 different toxins. So this is a big part of the reason that women get morning sickness, because once the liver now has to deal with your load of toxins and pathogenic microorganisms, plus everything you generated from basically creating a baby out of thin air, it becomes a big load on your liver. And that's why you can feel nauseous and, basically the symptoms are almost identical to detox symptoms, right? Because the liver is overloaded. So a friend of mine was the head of a naturopathic association here in Canada, and he had a whole pile of clients who were women who'd suffered from terrible morning sickness in their first, second, sometimes even three pregnancies in a row. They'd finally come into him. He'd put them on a detox and clearance program involving balancing the microbiome, getting rid of those pathogens that might be present, usually infrared sauna to help facilitate the detox pathways. And then they would conceive and they would have their first nausea-free pregnancy. So even for someone who thinks, oh, that's just the way I am, that's just how my body works, not true. Get rid of the toxic load, get rid of the unhealthy critters in your gut, and you will have a completely different pregnancy. And so the way that we do that for anybody, whether you have IBS or SIBO, or, maybe you feel okay, but you've had at least one or two courses of antibiotics in your life. If you haven't followed those with probiotics, your gut is not doing well. Mm-hmm. So if you've got that coating of candida on your tongue, or you've got bloating or gas after you eat, or you have indigestion with lots of burping, or these are all signs that your microbiome is not robust and healthy. Wow. So the thing that we found works best with my readers is to first use wild oregano oil to kill off the pathogens. And if you don't tolerate wild oregano, you don't like it, you can use olive leaf extract. And then, so you do that during the day. So you're killing critters, the bad guys, all day. And then at night before you go to bed, you take a high dose of Natron brand probiotics. And then that implants during the night and the next day. Now, once you're symptom free, all your symptoms are gone, then you come off, you reduce the amount of wild oregano you're taking, because during this treatment period, you're taking it 3 to 5 times a day, anywhere from 5 to 10 drops, depending upon, how bad your gut is. Mm-hmm. And then you gradually wean down to 3 times a day, and then twice a day, and then once a day. And then you ramp up your probiotic supplementation. And again, the only brand that we've seen people get therapeutic results from is Natron. And I receive no perks from Natron. I don't even get a special discount, but I wish there was a couple of choices I could give people, but they're the only one. Yes, they're super expensive because they actually work. Mm-hmm. And so then you ramp up your probiotic dosing to initially you want to go 2 to 3 times a day, you know, for at least a week or two. And then you want to drop back to once a day and you want to stay on that once a day through your entire pregnancy, your entire breastfeeding. Mm-hmm. Again, if you have a history of any kind of gut illness, like for my 3 kids, I gave them all Natron's Life Start probiotic within a few days of birth. You know, certainly within a week, you want to get your child and you can just put it on your nipple and let them suck it off. Or what they really like is I put in a little soy sauce dish and I dip my finger in it and they suck it off my finger and I dip it again. And that was the way my kids liked to take it. And I could then make sure they were getting the full dose and nothing was like falling off. Or if you're expressing or formula feeding, you can take the Life Start and you can mix it with your breast milk and give it to the baby in a bottle. So there's lots of ways to do it, but I think that is the absolute cornerstone for both you and baby for long-term health. And I'm proof of that. The doctor said to me that I would never, in fact, at the time I was diagnosed, I was in university. They said, you won't be able to finish university. You'll never be able to hold a job. You'll never be able to have kids. You'll be in and out of the hospital for the rest of your life. And if I'd listened to them, that would have been my prognosis. Right. So I had a very severe form of Crohn's disease. Mm-hmm. Well, I, you know, finished university. I've owned my own businesses since I was 19. I've had 3 kids. And most importantly, all 3 of my kids not only have no intestinal disorders, they also have no food allergies. Because food allergies can be the first sign that your gut microbiome is not strong. Really? Right? Your food allergies and your intolerances. And as people heal their gut, all of a sudden they can eat a whole bunch of stuff they couldn't eat before, that they couldn't tolerate before, because the gut is now strong and healthy. So, which, you know, we don't use that to go and eat McDonald's and pasteurized dairy and stuff that's not healthy for us in the first place. you know, but for me, I can travel anywhere in the world and I can eat, and I can eat off a roadside stall and I don't get sick because I've got a strong gut.
That's incredible. So you mentioned for anyone who's had a round or two of antibiotics, what it sort of therapy, I mean, I've heard it said you need like 3 years of probiotics for an antibiotic dosage, which just seems wild. What would you recommend? Is there a therapeutic dose that we should be doing of probiotics following antibiotic usage?
Yes. And I have, if you go to my blog and just type in antibiotics, it'll pull up the protocol for you. There's one you can use while you're on the antibiotics that hugely minimizes the side effects and the damage that the antibiotics are doing to your gut. And, you know, they can do things like rupture your membrane inside your inner ear and give you tendonitis. Like some of the drug antibiotics are absolutely, some of the drug antibiotics say right on the package insert that it will give you colitis. Mm-hmm. So you really want to be protecting the gut while you're taking probiotics. And then afterwards, it gives you a dosage that you can follow. In terms of how long it takes to implant that good flora, I'm going to say a minimum of 1 year of daily supplementation. And then I think it would depend on how good you are at home culturing actual potent probiotics. Because again, like there's natural food fermentation and making your own yogurt has become, you know, more mainstream, but no one's actually testing out those finished products to say, well, what bacteria are in here, first of all, to make sure they weren't contaminated by all kinds of stuff that's floating around. And, you know, in the old days, your grandma knew how to sterilize her equipment properly, but we probably don't. Yeah. Right. And so what is just in our environment that is then getting into our fermented food that we're then culturing. So, you know, there's a lot of things to think about. You have to do it right. And you have to have the right starter cultures and the right organisms to start with, which most people don't have an awareness of. Mm-hmm. So again, Natron sells a yogurt starter that is absolutely gold standard. So you can start with that for yogurt. And then for the fermented foods, you know, just learn from someone who preferably has multi-generational training on it, and who can actually give you some data in terms of what microbes are we culturing here, right? Have you ever tested your fermented foods? Do you have any idea what you're creating here, and does it have therapeutic value? Because I'll give you an example. There's 13 different strains of Acidophilus. Acidophilus is a probiotic that most of us have heard of, right? Well, there's 13 different strains that are common. Only two of those are capable of antiviral activity.
Wow.
Yeah. So there's a huge difference in strength and efficacy, just not only from species to species, but the strain within each species. Mm-hmm. So when you are trying to fix something that's damaged, you really want to make sure you're using a therapeutic microbe.
That's incredible. So you mentioned checking our tongue to see if we have any white substance or white look to our tongue. You also mentioned having food allergies or certain foods causing upset tummy or other issues. Is there any way that we can know, like, who should be going on this protocol? How do we know? Should we get tested specifically? Should we just, if we have these signs, jump into the oregano oil and olive oil protocol? Or what would you advise to people to look for?
Well, my official advice is to consult your physician. And for sure, you know, if you have any doubts, definitely book an appointment with a naturopath. A medical doctor isn't going to know much, but a naturopathic physician or a functional medicine doctor will totally be able to test you, both using saliva and stool, and some will give you, you know, a breath test to see how your upper bacterial balance is doing. So you can certainly have all the testing done that you want. Go for it. No downside to that.
Yeah. Awesome. And it's not going to hurt anyone. If you don't have specifically an overgrowth per se, this is only going to strengthen your gut, right? It can work for anyone.
Yes. Because, and if you have zero symptoms that I discussed, right? Like you can eat anything and you never get bloating and you never get gas or indigestion or heartburn or burping. You have one nice, soft, solid formed bowel movement a day. Okay. You've got a great gut, you know, then maybe, you know, if you wanted to, you could do wild oregano once a day for a week and then get on the high dose probiotics. Mm-hmm. And if you didn't, you with a gut like that, you likely wouldn't see any change from that wild oregano usage because your gut's already good.
Good to know. So how does our gut microbiome play into vaginal microbiome for women?
So whatever's happening in your gut is actually the microbiome throughout your entire body, including like your knee joints. So a lot of people who have arthritis in their knee, when they've done testing and they've looked at the data, it's all of the inflammation is actually originating from bad bacteria in their gut. So you fix the gut and the knees, no more arthritis. And because, you know, the body is not chunked up into separate compartments as much as modern medicine is organized that way. Mm-hmm. The body is completely permeable and interlinked. So whatever's in your gut is everywhere, even your eyes. Like some of my readers, they were literally going blind and there was nothing doctors can do. And by healing themselves and fixing their gut microbiome, their vision, this one woman I'm thinking of, she had four kids, her vision returned completely and she was not at any risk for any eye issues because all those bacteria travel everywhere in the body, including the vagina. So again, if you find yourself prone to bladder infections, cystitis, bacterial vaginosis, BV, and you'll get tested for that as soon as you become pregnant. That's one of the standard tests. They're going to swab your vag and they're going to see how your bacterial microbiome is doing in your vagina. Now, a lot of people come back that they have BV, bacterial vaginosis. They're like, you have an overgrowth of bad bacteria in your vagina. Here's your antibiotics. And so when that happened to me with my first child, I went to my naturopath and I said, tell me what else we can do for this. Yes. Because this is ridiculous. I am newly pregnant and you want to put me on antibiotics that are going to do God knows what to me and the fetus and my entire gut. Just know there's got to be something. And he told me what to do. And he said, you get a 6% solution of food grade hydrogen peroxide. You soak a sterile gauze pad in there. You stuff it up your vagina once a day. You lie down for 15 to 20 minutes, let it permeate. And then I would clench to get it into the folds of my vagina just to help it, you know, really get in there. Do that once a day for a week to 10 days, go get retested, 100% clear. And wow. And that's in the free ebook that I'm going to be giving everybody. The great thing about hydrogen peroxide is it's 100% natural. Your body's cells produce it themselves. So you're not putting anything foreign into your body that doesn't already exist there. Mm-hmm. And then once you get that cleared, again, if you have that history of vaginal problems or itching or a bad smell, those all are signs that your vaginal microbiome is not good. So in that case, again, back to Natron, they have a product called Gynatron that is a combination of an oral acidophilus and a vaginal implantation with some homeopathics and whatever. And the two combined can really help you to balance out that vaginal microbiome.
Because BV, you use a perfect word. It's balance out that microbiome, because BV is, it's often women think that they have bacteria there that's bad bacteria that shouldn't be there, but that's not really the case. It's that certain bacteria have taken over more of an overgrowth than they should have, but they are still part of a natural, healthy microbiome. Is that right? We don't necessarily want to kill things with antibiotics.
Well, they could be part of your natural microbiome, or they could be what we would consider negative or bad bacteria, right? Okay. And I don't think they're culturing out. They may culture depending on your lab or your doctor, but I don't think they're actually culturing out. They're just saying they're probably testing for some standard species that are not beneficial. And if you have too many of those, they're giving you a bacterial vaginosis diagnosis and saying you got to go on antibiotics, which, yes, kills everything.
Yeah.
So it kills all your good bacteria. And here's the thing that people and medical doctors, amazingly enough, do not seem to understand is that antibiotics kill all bacteria, good and bad. So what happens when you kill all your good bacteria? You now have a void. Mm-hmm. There's a saying, nature abhors a void. You know this to anybody who's gardened. If you kill all your weeds or you pull it and you leave bare earth, what is nature going to do? It's going to cover that with the fastest plant that can grow and cover that soil ASAP. And it's the same thing inside our bodies. So if you kill off all your bacteria, guess what's going to just zoom up into massive numbers is candida. Mm-hmm. Which again is a normal resident of our bodies. Mm-hmm. It's throughout our gut microbiome and therefore throughout the rest of our body. In balance, it's totally normal. It's only a problem when there's an overgrowth.
Right.
Right. And that's what people call a yeast infection, right? So you've got the itching and you've got the bad smell and you've got, you know, the other symptoms that go along with that. So again, but it all comes back to the microbiome. Is it in balance with predominantly healthy microorganisms?
Mm. Mm. Good info. So how do you believe nutrition affects a woman's experience of pregnancy, delivery, labor? Are there certain foods we could be eating to help assist the probiotics we're taking?
Well, yes. I mean, and again, you're back to what does good bacteria like to eat and what does bad bacteria like to eat? Because whatever you feed is what's going to grow, right? Yep. So bad bacteria loves sugar and simple carbohydrates. So that's your white bread, your white rice, your refined carbs, and anything containing sugar, right? So your good bacteria prefers your complex carbohydrates, right? So your whole grains and, you know, brown rice and the least amount of sugar you can. A really easy fix for that is to use stevia or monk fruit instead of sugar. Mm-hmm. And then if you want to mask the aftertaste of those, just add a little bit of coconut sugar, which is a low, very low glycemic index and doesn't feed anything, but it gives you that sweetness, but without the sugar load that's going to feed all the candida and the bad bacteria. Mm-hmm. So if you want to get sugar and refined carbohydrates out of your diet, guess what? You're cooking from scratch. You're not buying processed takeout food because it's loaded with those things, right? It's also loaded with hydrogenated oils, which your body cannot use. You know, so the cell membrane is 40% fat. We need a lot of good fats, mm-hmm. right? But the good fats are not seed oils, right? They are olive oil, butter, ghee, and animal fat, right? Like this whole thing of, oh, trim all the fat off your meat. No, and especially not if you want to conceive. Mm-hmm. So what I have found works best for me and all my readers is to follow the dietary guidelines from Dr. Weston Price, mm-hmm. who was a dentist in the 1920s. After he retired, because he was mystified he'd gone from having a clientele of mostly decent teeth to rampant tooth decay when processed foods were introduced in America. So he was like, what? So he thought, I'm going to go travel. Him and his wife took off for 10 years. They went all around the world to remote tribes in New Guinea, Switzerland. And he was looking for populations that had no degenerative disease and a tooth decay rate of less than 2%, no 1%. And that's what he would term a healthy tribe of people. And when he found those healthy tribes, he inventoried their food and he sent samples back home to the lab for testing. And so what he outlines in his book, I think it's called Nutrition and Physical Degeneration, something like that, is that people who ate basically what we'd call a traditional diet, where you have plenty of protein, plenty of good fats, and those are non-refined fats, like I said, butter, ghee, yogurt, dairy, the fat left on a healthy pasture-raised animal, not a factory-farmed grain-fed mm-hmm. animal. There's nothing healthy that you're eating from an animal like that. Lots of raw milk in whatever animal they had, whether it was goat or cow or camel. Fish and fish oils were super important. So just a note to all pregnant women, because you'll find your hair, especially once you give birth, people usually lose a lot of hair. Their hair just falls out. It doesn't have to. This has worked for me and everybody I've recommended it to. Every mom's group I was ever in, I'd say to them, take at least a tablespoon of Udo's oil. It's a product by Flora called Udo's oil. It's a blend, and at least 2 to 4 capsules of cod liver oil from Nordic Naturals, because they do not overfish and they microfilter all of their oils. They're the best supplier. You take that cod liver oil and the Udo's oil, number one, you will not lose any hair. So again, that's something I would start prior to conception, mm-hmm. because your baby's brain needs those omega-3s and DHEA. It needs those essential fatty acids to provide proper brain development. So definitely the good fats are hugely important in pregnancy. Lots of protein is hugely important, because what is everything that you're forming in that baby's body is going to be comprised of protein in some form or another. Mm-hmm. And then just getting out the bad stuff. You know, getting out the processed foods, the hydrogenated oils, the seed oils, the sugars, and the refined carbohydrates. So it's, and it's, you know, it's interesting, because people are like, oh, I'm pregnant, I have permission to gain weight, I can eat whatever I want. That is the worst perspective to take. And even for me, who in healing myself of a widespread gut disease, I mean, you want to talk about strict diets, I have been on them. But when I was pregnant was the strictest diet time of my life, because I was so acute, having had a body that was a piece of crap that I had to work so hard to heal. I did not want to give a body like that to my children.
And tell us about, I know you've shared with me the difference and how your mother was you know, nutritionally deprived when she was, had you in her room versus you? Could you share with us the personal difference there and so what you're talking about?
When my mother was pregnant with me and my older brother, she was in Kenya. And so with her pregnancy, I was the second child, and she developed severe nausea. And the only food she could tolerate was Chinese food, which she could only afford to eat once a week. And then she was also, my mom's British and Russian Jewish, but my dad's family is Indian, Hindu Indian. And their tradition, she was living with his family, was that the men ate first. So she couldn't even get milk or dairy products until the men had had their share and whatever was left over she could have. So during my her pregnancy with me, she gained 5 pounds. Mm-hmm. And so my jaw is very narrow. My chin is very narrow. My jaw is the size of a 12-year-old's and that's called facial bone malformation. And if you look around the Western world and you look at the number of kids who need braces, mm-hmm. because their jaw structure is not wide enough, their arch is not broad enough to hold all their teeth, that's called facial bone malformation, and it's due to malnutrition. Again, we're back to the work of Dr. Weston Price. And he photographed people in these tribes who their kids had beautiful, full sets of straight teeth, mm-hmm. and then processed food came into the tribe. So we're talking about those refined carbohydrates and those sugars and those hydrogenated oils, right? Canola oils, sunflower, safflower. And all of a sudden, the children being born did not have enough room for their teeth. Their teeth were crowded. They were not coming in properly. Well, that's now considered normal in our culture because we are so poorly nourished from in utero onwards.
And you're right. It's so different. It's the quality you mentioned earlier that we think that it's our free pass to just eat whatever we can because we're eating for two, but it's not about that. It's quality. It's the difference between, you know, your mother may not have been getting enough food, but then on the flip side, I could share a story as well. My husband, he went in and was getting braces in his 20s. Actually, he was going in to get braces, and the doctor advised that he break his jaw and extend it because of exactly what you're talking about. Because there just wasn't, he could get braces, but there just really the problem was his mouth, his jaw wasn't formed properly to hold the teeth and to form his mouth. And that his mother, when she was pregnant, she obviously, she lived here in the States. She was eating plenty, but I personally know their diet, you know, it's very processed. It's the typical, what you would call the standard American diet. It's not nutritionally complete compared to what you're saying Weston Price was seeing with these indigenous tribes, where they were actually being nourished with food that was quality over quantity. It makes all the difference.
Exactly. And so here's your hack, because we have the ideal and we have what we know we should. But that kind of change can take a long time. It can be super overwhelming. It can be really disheartening because, you know, if you've grown up eating that way, your taste buds don't even like real food, you know, and that takes time. So this is why you want to use, luckily, what we also have is, really great supplements. Mm-hmm. So you want to take the Udo's oil, you want to take the cod liver oil for the bone and tooth development. This is a product that is one of the ones that I formulated for my health business. It's called Bone Matrix. And so to determine the levels of minerals that form healthy bone and teeth, mm-hmm. I didn't just look at Dr. Weston Price's research. I went into all the medical literature that were studying things like osteoporosis or, you know, all the dentistry journals. And I did a research, you know, intensive research binge of what minerals does modern science know contribute to bone and tooth development or strengthening. And this is very important, in what ratio? Because you might say, oh, I'm just taking lots of calcium. No, calcium without magnesium, vitamin D, boron, and a whole bunch of other things is useless. Your body can't absorb it. It can't utilize it. It can maybe take 5 to 10% of it. The rest of it, if it's in a powdered form, your body can't even excrete it. So it's either packing it into kidney stones, it's lining your arteries with it. So the calcium, when you eat calcium from a plant, it's the plant takes that powdered calcium or rock calcium from the earth, and it breaks it down into an atom-sized nanomineral form. And that's what you're eating when you're getting your calcium from the plant or from the cow or the goat or the camel. Their body, because they have a better digestive system for digesting plants and turning it into milk, has already done the work for you. Mm-hmm. So again, if you can't get those sources raw, because once you've pasteurized, forget it, it's useless. Your body again can't use it because the heat and the fusing of the fats in pasteurization screws up milk. Pasteurized milk as a healthy food supply. So you would supplement with these atom-sized minerals. The whole line of them is called Quick Plus by IMIX Nutrition. And we have a bone matrix. We have a muscle matrix for if you get cramping. We have iron because a lot of women need iron. But if you take the regular powdered iron, oh my God, you are constipated. It's awful. And then you're constipated. So now you're getting anal fissures and you're getting, it's just, so don't do it. Take your iron in this atom sized nano form. And we use this for people who have intestinal bleeding because iron is highly aggravating, right? It can make your gut bleed in a heartbeat. So again, because all these supplements have already been tested by my readers who have very ill guts, for normal people, I mean, they're just brilliant. They're just like, boom, instant absorption, instant utilization. And there's none of the side effects that come when you're taking, you know, these like first generation industrial age supplements, like, oh, let's just use this mineral because it's a byproduct of this manufacturing industry and let's package it and sell it to people, you know? So really look for those next level high quality supplements that can help bridge the gaps of what's missing in your diet, because it does take time to change your diet. And especially, you know, if you are in a place in your life where you're already overwhelmed, you're already overworked, to then change your whole diet to a traditional healthy way of eating, it's just not going to happen. You're asking too much of yourself, right? So now we're back to the most important thing of keeping your stress low is that having that love and compassion for yourself and say, hey, I'm just going to make one change a week. And in the meantime, I'm going to take these supplements. I'm going to take these probiotics and I'm going to work at it with something that's easy that I can take once or twice a day. They're sitting on my kitchen counter down the hatch. That's my easy button. And then I'm going to give myself time and compassion to make those long-term lifestyle changes.
I love that. And do you mind sharing with us how your pregnancies turned out since you were so careful and so particular about what you were eating? Tell us about your kiddos now.
Well, do you want to know about the pregnancies or how my children are?
Both, because I know you were sharing with me that you gave them the body of athletes that you wish you had. So I want to share that with all of the readers.
Because aside from all my gut issues, I also had an S-curve scoliosis, which I have been working at the age of 26. I said to myself, you know what? I don't accept what the medical profession is telling me about this. I'm going to have a straight spine by the time I'm 60. And so I went into massive body work and yoga and Yamana body rolling and all these other therapies. And now I'm happy to say I'm straight, except for the top part, which is only less than 1 inch off center. So I'm going to hit that goal I set for myself.
That is awesome.
And that was all done as an adult when the bones in the spine are supposedly fused and blah, blah. But again, I'm taking these bone matrix minerals and I'm doing all the physical therapies. So the other thing that's super crucial for your babies is something called craniosacral therapy, because whether your baby's born by cesarean or vaginal, their head is going to get rearranged and the cranial bones are going to get rearranged. Mm-hmm. And if your baby has a fall or any kind of a thump, boom, back into the craniosacral therapist, because what's happening with those cranial bones determines not just the spine, but the whole flow of the cerebrospinal fluid, which determines the balance of the entire body. So I have a DVD actually called Baby Fart Aerobics. And it's for babies with colic which is something that I learned how to deal with my first child. And I learned how to, I'm like, this is not, people, again, they didn't know what colic was. And I was like, I know what this is. This is trapped gas, because I'd experienced it with Crohn's disease. Like, you will get these pain episodes that are so bad, you either pass out or you have to get taken to the hospital to have your intestines basically frozen with drugs. So when I saw my son, I was like, I know what this is. I've been here. I've lived this. So I worked out this routine to help, because again, you have to think, a baby's born, their entire GI tract has never functioned before. Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden they've got a massive amount of food moving through a system that's never had to work. Right. So some babies can cope with it, but a lot of babies, and again, we're back to cortisol levels with mom, stress levels with mom, mm-hmm. that cause the gut to clench, stool and gas gets trapped around the thing. And the gas hurts way more than trapped stool, way more, 1,000 times more. So in this baby fart aerobics video, where I show people what to do, from burping to colonic massage to this little routine. And the reason I called it baby fart aerobics is when you do the routine, your baby starts farting. Like, it literally is releasing the gas as you're doing the routine. So in that video, I film a session of my 8-week-old daughter having craniosacral. And I interview the therapist, and she tells, like, if your child has projectile vomiting or any kind of excessive spitting up, or like, she goes through all the things that literally one session can heal that, as opposed to months of agony. Mm-hmm. So craniosacral on, again, if you can do it for yourself, if you can give yourself permission for you to have craniosacral, that's amazing. Also, if you've got a breech birth, go for craniosacral. They can, highly likely that they can help your baby turn. Like, there's so much we can do for our bodies that the medical profession is completely ignorant of. Mm-hmm. But thank God for the internet. There's so much information out there now for people. So back to my pregnancies. Yes, my first child, he had colic, but he was, our babies come in with a personality. And they come in with a sole purpose. And if you believe in other lifetimes, they come in carrying karmic contracts and things from other lifetimes. So it's not all about you. You know, give yourself, it's okay. Take a deep breath. It's not all about you. They come in with a lot that's already there. And their personality, like, you can have one child that's a very high anxiety, uptight human being, and your other child who's a total roll with it, water off a duck's back human being. And that has nothing to do with you and your parenting. It's who the person is, right? So my first child was one of those high stress, highly sensitive. From the age of 2, he could see auras, and he would could kind of predict the future so that everybody around him started listening when he said something, and he would speak it in a certain way. We'd all be like, shit, get that taken care of before that, what he just said comes true. You know, like, so he's, again, a highly sensitive person. He could feel energies. He could feel spirits. He could. So as a result of that, I breastfed him for 8 months exclusively, because I could just, he did not want food. He showed no interest in food. And I intuitively felt that he needed longer. And I think if I tried to start him on solids at 6 months or 5 months, I think I would have created food intolerances or food allergies, because his system wasn't ready. So again, every child is individual. My daughter, much more laid back, very explored everything with her mouth. She was interested in food at 5 months. So at 5.5 months, I gave in and I started letting her have little bits of food. But again, that was driven by her body wisdom. Mm-hmm. When you have a baby, they're fully plugged into their own body wisdom, right? So, and my third child, again, he was not sensitive at all and blah, blah, blah. So with each child, I treated them a little bit differently. Mm-hmm. But every single child, again, throughout my entire pregnancy and my breastfeeding, I was very rigorous on staying away from sugars and processed and packaged foods. And I was taking all the supplements, including high dose probiotics. I was giving them probiotics. And so, and then the body work through craniosacral therapy for sure. And then as my kids got into sports, like, my daughter started gymnastics at 3. So gymnastics is very demanding on the body. So I found a chiropractor who specialized in ART, which is, again, non-cracking. Like, we don't want to be aggressive with the body. We want to support the body in nurturing therapy. So all my kids had not just the nutrition, but the body work that they needed. Mm-hmm. So my daughter was a competitive gymnast. She stopped competing at age 16. She had, in her entire gymnastics career, which is one of the highest injury sports you can do, she had one injury. And that was when coach moved the mat as she was in midair coming down for her landing. So the mat wasn't where it was supposed to be. And her foot went off the edge of it. She got a little twisted ankle that was fine in a week. Mm-hmm. That's unheard of. But again, because of the way they were raised to listen to your body. And I taught them, what's the difference between fear you need to listen to and fear you need to push through? And teaching them, again, from literally toddlerhood, to listen to their own. They say, Mama, can I climb that? And I would say, ask your body, right? When they were babies, I would just point to something and point to their head, and they would slowly look up and go, oh, I better watch my head. So putting the responsibility on them, it's your body. You become aware, you become connected, and then teaching them to dialogue with their body from a very young age. So I would say, and this is what I teach adults in my program as well. You have to ask your gut what it wants to eat. Because if you say, what do I feel like eating? You're asking your taste buds. Mm-hmm. No, your taste buds are going to be like Cheetos and pizza, you know, ice cream. That's what your taste buds want. So you have to put your hand on your belly and you have to ask your gut, is this okay for us? Or what food do we want? What do you want to eat right now? And again, it's intuition. So it's a quiet whisper. It's just a flash. It's a soft, wispy idea. That is your intuition. That is your body wisdom talking to you. So, and the more you do it, the stronger that voice gets. But again, if you can train your kids, if you can teach them how that works, you know, your kids will be the ones who, you know, they'll be at friends' houses or birthday parties and they'll be like, you know, my son came home and he said, Mom, everybody had two pieces of birthday cake, but I asked my belly and my belly said, no, so I only had one, you know, but and I was like, well, that's what more do you want? Now that boy is now 22 and eats absolute garbage for a large part of his diet. So it doesn't mean that, but that's okay. Like, it's his body. It's his choice. He became a competitive soccer player. My youngest is in England right now at 16. He is on a track to be a professional soccer player. I gave my kids the bodies of professional athletes where they could do whatever they wanted to. And their limitations were not going to be caused by me. You know, if they want to give themselves limitations, that's fine.
That's so powerful.
Right? I want you to hit this world at ground zero instead of like where I was, where I had 25 years of healing just to hit ground zero.
Yeah.
Right. Mm. But the benefit is that I wouldn't have all this knowledge to give to my kids and to all my readers if I hadn't done that 25 year journey. So, you know, at the end of the day, you're like, okay, it's all good.
We each have our path to take, right?
Exactly.
You know, you touched briefly on, I know you were speaking on how our bones and our head change and the cranial sacral, but you touched on a cesarean versus a natural birth. For women who, I know it's common nowadays that we schedule cesareans. If someone's contemplating that, what would you share with them on what difference your baby's going to have coming down the natural vaginal birth from the microbiome perspective versus a C-section?
I think the best way to, so two things. First of all, in terms of the microbiome, when the baby is squished through the vaginal canal, that's when the bacteria is forced into every orifice, the ears, the eyes, the nose, the mouth, through this, like everything gets saturated with that beneficial bacteria. Mm-hmm. And that's why it makes such a difference to a baby's microbiome to have a vaginal birth. Now, I'm going to tell you another story that I think illustrates something that we as humans don't even properly understand yet in terms of what is the benefit to the entire organism of having a vaginal birth. And I'll tell you a story about what happens with horses. If you have a foal, which is a baby horse, that does not come through that birth canal on nature's timetable, like either it's removed by cesarean or some guy grabs the foal's hooves and pulls it out, that foals are hardwired that when they hit the ground, within minutes, they're up. Mm-hmm. And within like 10 more minutes, they can run. Right? It's evolutionary biology. It's a way to survive. If you cesarean that foal or you pull that foal out of the birth canal without letting it come down on its own time, that foal cannot stand. That foal can take days, sometimes up to a week or two to be able to run. The foal has problems nursing and latching. Like it's like the body is designed to have that compression as the transformation between swimming in the placental sac and being out in the world. And we have that data on horses, but we don't have it on humans. Right. Nobody's looking at it from that point of view to say, we're just looking at this is nature designed this terribly. Why would the baby and the mother have to go through this terrible experience in compression? Well, maybe there's a reason. Maybe there's a whole bunch of stuff, just like horses, that gets activated through that journey and that compression period that is crucial for the maximum efficient functioning of that being. So I think that's something that definitely needs more study and more thought.
I couldn't agree more. Oh my goodness, Jeannie. So you are sharing with everyone today an ebook on preparing your gut and vaginal microbiome. Could you share a little bit more about what they're going to find in that?
It's basically a lot of the stuff we've touched on today, but with some more specific instructions and some links to other resources. So, you know, that the thing for if you're diagnosed with bacterial vaginosis, I tell you in there exactly what my naturopath told me to do. And I, again, I'm not giving anybody medical advice. I'm just sharing my story about what I did. And if you want to do it yourself, you can. And then also how to go about balancing that gut microbiome. And again, it's more information than can fit into one ebook, but I've got you the framework and then your links to the other instructions and resources, which are also all free for whoever wants to take it further. Mm-hmm. And then the second thing I have along with that is a free guided meditation on releasing and relaxing the vagus nerve and the neck. Because again, prior to conception and after pregnancy, and this is one you can do when you're pregnant as well, because you just lie down on your back, that vagus nerve runs from your brain all the way down your spinal cord and throughout your gut and your pelvis. It is a massively important nerve for the optimal functioning of pretty much everything in your body. And if it is not functioning properly, if it is constricted, restricted, and overactive, it can cause multiple issues, right? So this is a fantastic, and sleep issues too. You can't sleep properly. So again, this is a beautiful meditation. It's less than 15 minutes. So it's something you can do easily every day if you like, to just get in touch with that nerve and release it and relax it for optimal functioning.
And when we release that and we're giving our body the proper nutrition and healing our gut, it all just works hand in hand and our body's capable of healing itself and coming into its natural state of being whenever we give it what it needs.
Absolutely. 100%. I say from someone who's healed from, you know, an incurable disease and helped over 100,000 people heal from their quote incurable diseases, I would like to say that nothing is incurable and nothing is impossible.
I love it. I love it, Jeannie. Thank you so much for joining me today.
Thank you, Stephanie.